Members, please take your seats, turn off or silence all cell phones or electronic devices. Children, Families, and Seniors Subcommittee will now come to order. Enola, please call roll and announce a quorum.
Chair Coster.
Here.
Representatives Basabi.
Here.
Burfield.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Barrero.
Here.
Gossett-Seidman.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Joseph. Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Here.
Maney?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Rayner? Roach?
Present.
Robinson?
Here.
Tremont?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Woodson?
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Welcome, members. We've got a great agenda for us today. We've got four bills up on agenda, and we're going to start with PCS for HB 1083, Permanency for Children. Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized to explain PCS for HB 1083.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Maney, Ranking Member Robinson, and members. It's great to be with you this morning. First and foremost, I'd like to thank staff and the chair to whittling this bill down to its best version. So thank you so much for all the hard work we've been putting into it. This PCS will make the adoption process more efficient while reducing barriers to permanency. It codifies current practices to ensure that DCF is able to continue accessing the FBI's criminal history database for background screenings. The bill sets provisions for children of deceased parents, change of custody, permanent custody with a relative or adult, guardianship assistance program payments, removal of a foster child after denied application, persons required to consent to adoption, requirements for prospective parents' terms to be eligible for support for the Road to Independence program, criteria for eligibility for adoption assistance payments, and finally, provisions around the adoption exchange. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tribolsi. Members, any questions on the bill?
I have questions, Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you very much. Can you actually walk us through the process? Will they actually lose any benefits that they are currently receiving going through this new process?
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question. No.
Follow up?
Yes, you're recognized for a follow up.
And because they are not losing any, is it any additional benefits that they would actually inquire once they actually do the process and change?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the question. Can you tell me who you are referring to when you say they?
The children.
You're recognized.
Thank you. So, yes, they actually will receive some benefit because in a couple of the sections of the bill, we've actually increased the eligibility from children from 16 years to 18 years of age and brought it down to 14 years. So they will have expansion of services.
Members, any additional questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. We're in public testimony. We don't have any public testimony. Okay. Members, we're in debate on the bill. You're recognized, Ranking Member Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. And I just wanted to take this time to thank Rep. Tribolsi for doing this. The process really needed some work, and you taking the time to go through it. I'm positive this is not the one and done, but this getting started is really important. One of the things that I really appreciate is extending the PES program. That's something that's really needed with our children that's aging out of foster care. So just taking the time to go through the system and making things better is important, so we appreciate it.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Tribolsi, I know this has been a labor of love for you when it comes to this bill, and you have really listened. You have worked with stakeholders and also ourselves in order for you to make the process better. We know there have been some issues with the adoption process and everything else, and I really appreciate the work that you have put into this bill. It would help not only the kids, the families, and also the system itself, which is what we really want. And also, my colleagues, Representative Robinson, mentioned the PEST program. That is very important, aftercare and all those other issues. So that was a very thoughtful bill, and you put so much into it. So I really appreciate your help and your work on this bill. Thank you so much.
Seeing no further debate, I will just echo some of those comments about all your hard work on this and being open to talking to some of the experts that do this work day in and day out and taking feedback. And I know it's still a work in progress, but I appreciate all of your hard work. And with that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. This has been a work in progress. I think it will continue to be a work in progress, but that's why we're here. We can't take these things lightly. And we have to make sure that we are doing the best that we can by children, especially the most vulnerable children, and the parents that are going to adopt these children. We can't just make rash decisions based on what we think to be true. We have to really uncover and find out what the truth is. And we don't often need to create a new program. What we need to do is make the existing program better and stronger. And I really think that that's what we need to do here. I'm happy that you brought up the PEST program. I think it's really important. The adoptive children are so excited about that. More importantly, they're really excited to have a say in their photographs that are going to be put up on the exchange. That was something that they've talked to me about for a long time, so that they can have a say in the whole adoption process too, because this is their life, and it may not seem like a big deal, but it does give them some ownership in the process. So thank you so much. I look forward to continuing this through the process and make it even better, but I appreciate your support today.
Having closed on our bill, Nola, please call roll for PCS for HB 1083 and announce a vote.
Representative Basabi?
Yes.
Burfield? Burfield? Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Coster?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show PCS for HB 1083 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Next up, members, we have HB 1267, Economic Self-Sufficiency, by Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, you're recognized to explain HB 1267.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. Thank you, members of the committee, for taking the time to hear HB 1267, Economic Self-Sufficiency. Members, in Florida, we invest a lot of state and federal funding in what I like to call an alphabet soup of programs. We have SNAP, TCA, ENT, SR, just to name a few. And the goal of these programs is to help families become economically self-sufficient and provide the best possible outcomes for their children. But sadly, most families that are on these programs actually never achieve that economic self-sufficiency. We see a lot of folks graduate from receiving TCA just to return a few months later. Many stay on these programs for several months. Some never get off. And this has enabled a generational cycle of poverty where children don't advance economically. For example, 1/3 of those participating in food assistance programs, TCA or Medicaid in 2017, had not exited the program for at least 6 months by 2021. More than 40% of families have participated in the school readiness program for 12 months or more. Just under half of the TCA participants who exit the program when they start earning a higher income return to the program every single month. There's a lot of reasons why these families have a hard time reaching self-sufficiency. Access to childcare, transportation are a couple of them. Another big one is many of these individuals don't have high school diplomas. So while we have these robust programs throughout the state to help these families, a bad design of these programs often gets in the way of actually helping the individuals. One of these significant design issues are the benefit cliffs. And I understand this committee had a presentation on benefit cliffs and some of the design issues last session. And you learned how even a very small increase in income could result in a very sizable reduction of benefits. In some cases, for example, in the school readiness program, an individual can completely lose their child care subsidy. So without the subsidy, they can't go to work. And if they don't go to work, they can't achieve economic self-sufficiency. Sadly, oftentimes, the fear of going over these benefit cliffs is enough to prevent a worker from taking a promotion at work or trying to advance their career. So HB 1267 seeks to maximize the effectiveness of our benefit programs with a focus on addressing the design issues of benefit cliffs. The bill does this in several ways. First, it standardizes the intake and discharge assessments for the various programs and requires the Department of Children and Families to report their findings to the legislature annually. The bill encourages participants to further their education by allowing GED classes to count as one of the allowable activities for an individual receiving TCA. It requires DCF to seek approval from the federal government to require adult SNAP recipients to participate in education and training programs so they can advance their careers. It requires the use of a cliff navigator tool when local workforce boards are working with families to help provide individually tailored information about possible benefit cliffs that they might be exposed to. It provides case management services for those who have left TCA due to higher earnings so they can address future benefit cliffs. And finally, it addresses the benefit cliff for the school readiness program by extending eligibility based on the state standards rather than the current arbitrary federal standards. And it replaces that cliff with an off-ramp so participants can more securely advance their careers. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Members. Any questions of the sponsor? Representative Williams, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep. Anderson, for having the conversation with me. Could you elaborate a little bit more about the cliff and the off-ramp? What do we have in place to actually track that and it's actually happening or not? And if, okay, that's the first part.
You're recognized to answer the first question.
Okay. We have an amendment that might change the answer to this slightly.
Okay, I can
answer it generally, and the answer probably won't change too much. But with the school readiness program, there's the current qualification is an individual needs to be at 150% of the federal poverty level. And there is a slight graduated scale, but it ends pretty abruptly. So what this bill does is it will expand the amount of time and the level of income that a participant can earn to help smooth that transition. So as their income goes up, their benefits will go down.
Did you have a follow-up or do you want to wait for the amendment?
Madam Chair, I wait for the amendment.
Okay. Representative Woodson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair Coster. Rep. Anderson, actually you answered my first question based on the question that Rep. Williams had, so thank you for that. And my second question to you has to do with the workload based on the bill, you know, all the work that everything you have put in the bill, the Florida Commerce and Career Source going to pick up the workload. So does your bill make any provision to address the additional workload that they will be picking up or not?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for that question. I really appreciate the conversation that we've had over the last couple of days about this. You share the same passion I have about this program. So the short answer is that the actual cost to do those things is indeterminable right now. We're going to appropriations next, so we'll have a more clear picture. But CareerSource is going to play a very important role in this program. They're providing the case management. They're the ones that are going to be required to use that Cliff Navigator tool, and we will support them to do that.
Thank you, Madam.
Representative Harris, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. I just wanted clarification. Lines 125 to 141, it says that DCF must request approval from the federal government. Does DCF already do that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have another amendment that will actually answer that.
Okay, thank you.
I should have mentioned there were two amendments.
Sorry.
To take up. That's okay. No problem, members. Any other questions on the bill before we get to the amendments? Okay, seeing none. Representative Anderson, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 519477.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment simply clarifies that expanding the mandatory SNAP ENT participation does not apply to households that include children that are under the age of 18.
Members, any questions on this First Amendment? Okay. Any public testimony on this amendment? No? Okay. Any debate on the amendment? You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Madam Chair.
Okay. Without objection, we'll show this amendment adopted. Representative Anderson, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 716895.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this amendment is an effort to ensure compliance with federal law when we're implementing this new school readiness program. It essentially creates a new supplemental program that will ease the administrative burden on the early learning coalitions while administering the new program. That is the amendment.
Members, any questions on this amendment? Any public testimony on this amendment? No? Okay. Debate on the amendment? Members, any debate on this amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Okay. Without objection, we will show this amendment adopted as well. We're now on public testimony on the bill as amended. Any cards? Nothing. Okay. No public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill as amended. Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate. On the bill as amended.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Coster. Webb Anderson, we find out that we do have a common passion, which is making people become self-sufficient. And I really appreciate the conversations, the several conversations that we have had, because I find out that you really wanted people to become self-sufficient. And for that, I appreciate you on this. As a former public administrator, I have seen how individuals come to the system if they're making a quarter or even 10 cents over the threshold. They are not qualified to receive school readiness or whatever benefits that they might have applied for. And your bill is really solving this issue. And also, a lot of items in the bill, which I'm not going to take a lot of time because I know some of my other colleagues might want to debate on the bill. Your bill is doing so much more by providing, like, the transitional case management, which is very important because we can't just remove people from a program and don't show them how to make a living out of what they have been taught. So this is a very good bill. I really appreciate all the work that you have put into it. Also, the fact that you have listened and come up with amendments. So I really appreciate it. And this is a bill that will move people in the right direction. So I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Representative Tremont, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You were so, Representative, thank you for this bill. You're very articulate in this, so I can't, expound on any of that. I just, from experience as a pastor, from experience serving as a board member of our homeless shelter, time and time again, I've seen people who make very little, it's amazingly enough, who make very little, afraid to make more than where they're at because they're going to lose so much. When we talk about constantly offering people a hand up from their situation, I appreciate you finding this crack to fill. So it's a tremendous need for families and children around. Thank you for the bill, Representative.
Ranking Member Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I just also wanted to thank Representative Anderson for this bill. I think that is past due. I really love the component of being able to ease people off, you know, be able to let them get a higher wage, but not just cut them off at once. One of the things, though, I did want to make sure that I stated was that you talked about Career Source, looking at that group that's 18 to 59, what we're doing there, making sure that we really provide those resources to ensure that they're able to move on, because I find that a lot of times that's where the struggle, you know, comes into play, because they don't have the kids or things like that, but they're still struggling, and they don't necessarily always have the resources from Career Source or what other agencies to take them all the way. So I think what we're doing here is great, but I do believe that we are going to make sure that we need to pay attention to what's happening in that age group. So.
Seeing no additional debate, Representative Anderson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, in closing, we have some excellent programs in our state to help our fellow Floridians. But unfortunately, many of them are just not working the way that they were intended to. And it's our responsibility as lawmakers to be good stewards of taxpayer money. And if we have these programs, we need to maximize their effectiveness and efficiency. And our ultimate goal here for all this is that participants on these programs will reach economic self-sufficiency and be off these programs completely. So with that, Madam Chair, I close.
Thank you. Representative Anderson having closed on his bill. Enola, will you please call roll on HB 1267 and announce a vote?
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Burfield? Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
And Chair Coster?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, will show HB 1267 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Members, before we take up our next bill, I do just want, for the record, to reflect that we did have two public testimony cards on PCS for HB 1083. We had Sam Kearse from representing DCF waving in support, and we had Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, also waving in support. Just wanted to get that on the record. Members, next we're going to take up HB 591, Hot Car Death Prevention, by Representative Brannon. Representative Brannon, you're recognized to explain HB 591.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for getting me on the agenda. I'm chairing Justice Appropriations, but if I stomp real hard, they can hear me. I just left there. We had a couple of bills down there and a budget rollout today, so thanks for accommodating me. I do have an amendment. I don't know if you want to take that on the front end or the back end.
We'll take it up after you present the bill.
Thank you. This bill is cited as Arias Act, and it's one that is sort of close to my heart and those in my community back home. Tragically, back in July, we lost a little 10-month-old precious little baby due to a hot car incident, being left strapped in her car seat by a babysitter. So Senator Bradley and I got together and tried to look at things we could do. And initially, and this may not be the only thing we eventually do, but initially we wanted to come up with a campaign for more awareness to try to, I think we've had 7 children that we've lost in hot car incidents this past year, which is awful. And as a father of a 30-year-old and a 5-year-old, is I just can't imagine what the family is going through. But the bill will name April will designate April as Hot Car Death Prevention Month to raise awareness of the dangers of leaving children in motor vehicles unattended and to educate the public in hopefully preventing hot car deaths. The Department of Children and Families, the Department of Health, local governments, and other agencies, and we'll name one of those other agencies in the amendment, are encouraged to sponsor events to promote awareness on the dangers of leaving children unattended in a motor vehicle and help, hopefully, to prevent hot car deaths, including educating the public relating to proper motor vehicle safety for children, the criminal penalties associated with leaving a child in a motor vehicle unattended and unsupervised, and steps that a bystander can take to rescue a vulnerable child in imminent danger, sort of like a good Samaritan would do. So, Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions before we take up the amendment? Representative Williams, you have a question?
I have a question.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Rep, can you tell me when you say a certain procedures that a bystander could take to prevent the death of a child? Is that somewhere I actually can read it?
You're recognized.
Sure. Yes, it's already in law. It's there. There are, and I've read it, and such things as, you know, the child has to be in danger. They have to remain there with the child until the rescue or the police get there. There are rules, but it's in the statute already. This bill is just about awareness of publicizing what people can do. And, of course, the real important side is trying to bring awareness that people have to we get busy in our lives, and people, these phones and all these things draw our attention away. So we have to start trying to spread awareness, and we're going to even spread it more, hopefully, here in a minute by adding a little amendment to the bill.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we have one amendment. Representative Brandon, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 949543.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you heard, I read we want the Department of Children and Families, Department of Health, local government, but we have also decided to remove that line 22 that names those agencies and insert a new line, and it will include also adding the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. So to read Department of Health, Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, local governments, children and families, it'd all be in there. But basically, we're just adding Department of Highway and Safety and Motor Vehicles to the bill, and that's an important agency as it relates, of course, to automobiles.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? No. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I'll just close by saying that we hope that we do spread awareness. We hope to protect even more Florida's children, prevent
this
other.
This is on your amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Any closing on your amendment?
My mind is racing and thinking about what I got to do in that other committee when I get back. I'm sorry for getting the cart ahead of the horse, but I'll wave close on the.
Having waved close without objection, we'll show the amendment adopted, and we're now on public testimony on the bill as amended. Rocco Salvatore, Florida Professional Firefighters, a proponent on the bill, waving in support. Thank you for being here. Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, waving in support. And Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. Mary Lynn Cullen, Advocacy Institute for Children, waving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, debate on the bill as amended. Representative Williams, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much. Rep. Brandon, thank you very much for bringing this great bill. Last session, I had one of the children in my district that lost his lives because someone left him in a car. So this is touching for me, and I want to say thank you for thinking of the ones that at that time is not in the right frame of mind to understand that we as bystanders can do additional things to help a child. Thank you.
Any additional debate? Seeing none, you're now recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Thank you. As I had began to say earlier, I just hope that this will prevent other families from suffering the same consequences. And I can't imagine the immeasurable loss that the Page family is still facing after the loss of this precious little 10-month-old little girl. With that, I'll close.
Thank you. Having closed on your bill, Anola, please call roll on HB 591 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Burfield? Black? Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Coster?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, will show HB 591 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you all.
Good luck with the budget. Members, the last bill. The last bill on our agenda, HB 1271, Individuals with Disabilities. Representative Buchanan, you're recognized to explain HB 1271.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, good early afternoon, members of the committee. Great to be with you. For those of you that aren't aware, the Agency for Persons with Disabilities supports individuals with disabilities like autism and intellectual disabilities, along with their families. APD offers several services. However, the path in choosing those options can make the best choice very confusing at times. Wait times for waiver enrollment can be long, thus creating unnecessary challenges for families desperate for help. HB 1271 addresses these issues of many families and timeliness and ease of application, including eligibility process and access to assistance from ADP while waiting for waiver services and navigating the waiver process once enrolled. Specifically, HB 1271 requires APD to offer new care navigation services to clients and their caregivers on a voluntary basis and help them connect them with those community services. Additionally, it's going to help develop and implement an online application process, of which in today's age, it's hard to believe we don't already have one. It'll help meet the time standards for reviewing applications, and it's going to inform waiver enrollees about the Consumer Direct Care Plus program, the CDC Plus program. It's also going to reprioritize higher on the pre-enrollment list for Category 4, of which is currently set for caregivers that are 70 years old. We're reducing that to 60 years old. In addition, it's going to direct ACA to work with stakeholders on the new Medicaid waiver, focusing on individuals with that will soon be adults. The waiver priority would also avoid future crisis enrollment situations. Lastly, members, HB 1271 provides over $77 million in funds for new waiver enrollment for caregivers in Categories 3, 4, and 5. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the bill? We do have two amendments, but before we get to the amendments, any questions on the bill? I'm not discouraging questions before we get to the amendments. I'm just trying to highlight better than I did the last time. So you're recognized, Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with you, Rep, that at this particular time, I don't see why we have such a wait list. And you spoke of funding that's going to be available. Is that any of that funding being used for staff members to actually train them properly so that we will not have this waiting list? I just don't understand why at this particular time there's such a wait list for the people that's in need.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you so much for that question, Representative. A key component in this bill that I think is really important is the new care navigation services component, of which, it's going to help folks that are going through the program navigate the process from start and as they work through the program. So that's something that's going to help folks that are working through the program.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you very much for that response. But is it, when you're changing over to a new process, a new navigating system, is there someone that we're going to actually have trained in place that will actually be able to assist the ones that's actually using the system?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that question, Representative. So just to clarify, you're asking, Will these folks be trained?
You can clarify.
Yes. The staff members that's actually going to be able to, will there be staff members that's properly trained to assist the clients that's actually going to use the navigation system?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes.
Any additional questions, members? Seeing none, Representative Buchanan, you're recognized to present Amendment Barcode 613947.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment aligns the bill with the Senate's bill, which includes a definition for complete application, which is very important, as the complete application triggers the deadline for APD to review. So it's, you know, that's something that it's important that we get defined.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? No. Any debate on this amendment? You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Madam Chair.
Being waive close, without objection, we'll show that amendment adopted. Representative Buchanan, you're recognized to present Amendment Barcode 345159.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this amendment requires APD's involvement in the process of the study for a new waiver. It requires ACCA to consult with APD when contracting with necessary experts to assist in the waiver study. It also requires APD to submit a report about the waiver study in consultation with ACCA. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Members, any questions on this amendment? Seeing none, no public testimony on this amendment. Members, any debate on this amendment? You're recognized to close on this amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, we'll show this without objection. We'll show this amendment adopted. We are now in public testimony on the bill as amended. David Brown, Family Initiative, a proponent of the bill, wishing to appear? You're recognized.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is David Brown. I'm the co-founder and president of Family Initiative. Family Initiative is a nonprofit organization with sites across Florida, providing support for children, adolescents, and young adults diagnosed in the autism spectrum. We're in tremendous support of this bill. We can't thank the leadership at APD enough, and for the Senate, the sponsor, Buchanan, for doing this. This bill and working with children, adolescents, for many years and watching them struggle to transition into adulthood, and their parents, trying to identify how to negotiate and navigate the process, has been incredibly challenging. And we are thrilled to have these care navigator positions available, to make an investment to expand access to services, so that every one of the families we work with, their children, young adults, have an opportunity to be successful and to thrive. And we're in support, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Jessica Van Hart, Family Initiative, a proponent of the bill, wishing to appear. You are recognized.
Hello. I'm a mom of a 26-year-old son who is autistic. So I'm in favor of the bill. I wish that when he was born, I might have had a book to tell me how to and what to and where to go for information. But I didn't. I struggled. He was in school, and it was okay navigating the school system and getting him services. But once he graduated, I woke up, and what am I supposed to do? He graduated at 21. He's not eligible for waiver. Waiver doesn't kick in until he's 22. I didn't have anybody to call and ask. I didn't have a navigator. He was 21. I am in favor of giving families a care navigator to work with them from the time their children are in school to set up a plan so that when their child comes out of high school, they know what it looks like. They already have a plan in place. They know what programs are available. They know how to access the programs. They know how to fill out the forms. So I am in favor, and I'm hoping that everyone else is, into helping empower the families to get their children what they need. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Melissa, I'm sorry. Please help me with that. A support coordinator here for information only. You're recognized.
Melissa Mazeda.
Mazeda.
Yeah.
A D. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, members. I'm just going to provide a little bit of information regarding it. And I have met with Representative Buchanan a couple of times. And in this bill, there's mention about the waiver support coordinators and then also informing people about the consumer-directed care program. And that is what I do. I am a support coordinator. I have been since the inception of the waiver. And I also do provide consumer-directed care services. And one of the things that's been an issue has been the amount of people that do that service, that provide that service in this state. And especially under the consumer-directed care program, they're called consultants, and there's even less of them. So it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you pump into this program to remove people from the wait list. If there are not enough support coordinators or consultants, there's not going to be somebody there to receive them, to help them navigate this process. Now, the care navigator part, that's wonderful at APD to help with that. But once somebody does transition onto the actual waiver and they need to be informed about consumer-directed care, that's where we would kick in. And in order for that to happen, that structure needs to change. One of the things that Representative Anderson had said earlier was about being good stewards of the money and maximize effectiveness and efficiency, and that's applicable to this as well. Support coordination is a very complex job, and it takes years to learn. One of the things that is required is that anytime there's a new support coordinator, they're called a mentee, and they need to have a mentor with them for a minimum of 90 days. So each client that is added to the waiver gets two support coordinators basically for the price of one. And that structure is not something that is, it's not really doable as it is right now. It's great, it needs to happen that way, but the way that the funding is set up, it doesn't allow for agencies that want to take people off of the wait list to be able to really do it in the manner that it needs to happen. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say.
Thank you for being here, providing information. Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, waiving in support. Victoria Zepp, Children's Home Network, waiving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Any debate on the bill? Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair Coster. Webb Buchanan, thank you so much for this bill. You are moving this issue of people being on the waiting list, people with disabilities being on the waiting list. You are moving this issue into the right direction, and I appreciate that. I wish you could name this bill the JJ bills. And I'm saying that for a reason. JJ was a young man who came and advocated and testified on behalf of people with disabilities because JJ been on the waiting list forever. Forever. And his parents also, they had to make so many sacrifices and couldn't even, you know, at one point understand why he was on the list for so long. Besides that, you bringing a lot of good. You're really solving a lot of issues with this bill. And even though we cannot name the bill the JJ bill, but I know that JJ would benefit because this bill would allow him to move up and hopefully get the services that he needs. And not just him, but so many other people, so many other kids or adults with disabilities that would really help them in the process. They need our help, and we need to understand they exist, and they need the help just like everybody else. So thank you so much for your work on this bill. We had some great bills today, Chair Coster. I really appreciate those bills that we had this morning. So thank you again. I look forward to you continuing to work in order to make life better for people with disabilities. Thank you so much.
Representative Harris, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Buchanan. I do want to, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I also want to just really shout out JJ, somebody who has been working on this, and his mom, Allison. I know that this bill is not going to solve every single problem out there. There's still a lot that needs to be done, but it is definitely a step, a good step in the right direction. So I appreciate you bringing this forward, and I appreciate you too, Chair Coster, for you know, putting some good bills on the agenda today. Thank you.
Representative Tremont, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm speaking a little bit more often than I normally like to do with these committees, but I just couldn't not help. I couldn't help myself in this particular regard. It's personal to my family for sure. Just want to thank you for bringing this bill and taking a bite out of the apple here. And it is just a bite. As you well know, there's a lot to do. There'll always be more that we're going to need to continue to resolve here in this situation. But I would encourage all my colleagues not just to vote yes on this, but also keep this issue and this population on the forefront. And I'm always trying to tell people it isn't a matter of people not caring. It's a matter of people not knowing. There's not a person that doesn't care about this population. But I would encourage us all to keep this on the forefront every single year. The most vulnerable population that is in existence. This is the one that we need to help. I appreciate your leadership on this, and I'm going to be there every step of the way to assist in your leadership with this. So thank you for this bill.
Seeing no additional debate, Representative Buchanan, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, thank you for your feedback. This bill is about increasing access, reducing wait times, and helping some of the Florida families that need it most. And I want to make sure I thank the stakeholders that have helped bring me up to speed on this issue, bringing different perspectives, some of whom sit on this committee. Hillary Brazil, thank you for your help. Krista Kamalis, I'm thanking her. I also want to thank Melissa Mazeda, who spent some time giving me her perspective as it relates to how the process works. She also showed me how iConnect works, which is a subject matter for a different day. But I ask for your support on this bill. As Representative Tremont said, you know, we're taking a bite out of the apple here, and there's always more we can do, but this is something that's moving us in the right direction as a state. Thank you.
Thank you. Having closed on your bill, Enola, please call roll on HB 1271 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Burfield? Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Coster?
Yes.
15 yays, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, will show HB 1271 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. Members, that concludes our agenda for today. I concur. We had so many great bills up. Thank you all again for your continued dialogue. Representative Killebrew moves we rise. Without objection, meeting's adjourned.